And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
The Athletic.
Good morning. Welcome to the Daily Football Briefing from The Athletic. It's Wednesday, the 1st of May. I'm Adam Leventhal, and on today's show, Vinny Jr. stars for Real at Bayern.
Madrid, as they so often do, they find another way to pull things around again.
Can Dortmund stop Mbappe tonight?
Clearly, there's going to have to be some protection. Emre Can will have to be something approaching his best.
And Ipswich are just a point away from the Premier League.
Big opportunity now, Kiefer Moore!
This is the Daily Football Briefing with Adam Leventhal.
We start with last night's Champions League semi-final first leg, and Vinicius Jr. was the main man for Real Madrid, scoring the opener.
It's a really good run, it's a great ball, and it's 1-0! Vinicius Jr.
But then Bayern turned it around.
Mendy in front of Sané, inside, scores! Piece of brilliance from Leroy Sané! He can send it left and does, Musiala's in a good position. Musiala, is he caught? It's a penalty! It's a penalty to Bayern Munich, 2-1, Harry Kane.
Sané and Kane with his 43rd of the season, making it 11 Champions League goal involvements, the most ever for an Englishman, put the Germans 2-1 up in the space of 4 second-half minutes before Vinny Jr. bookended the night with 7 to go.
Oh, nicely done. Now, is that a penalty? It is. Here he comes. 2-2, Vinicius Jr.
So it finished level, but Real with the psychological edge. Here's our Spanish expert, Dermot Corrigan.
Madrid will feel confident after completing the job next week at the Bernabeu. They're going to be playing at home in front of their own fans. The atmosphere is going to be amazing. The noise will be huge. And that's where Madrid have put in their best performances in the Champions League through recent years when they've got to so many finals. Ancelotti's just spoken there, and he wasn't really happy with how the team has played. He said they lacked intensity at times. He wasn't happy with how they allowed Bayern to control the game, how they allowed in the first opening stages of the game, and then how they allowed Bayern back into it when it looked like, after Cruz's amazing assist and Vinicius' really good finish, it looked like Madrid had the tie in their hands, really, and then Bayern came back into it. But again, Madrid, as they so often do, they find another way to pull things around again, and they will feel that they can do it. Neither team is perfect. Both teams showed weaknesses. Two big European heavyweights having like trading blows and it coming out equal. But I think in the end, Madrid will see themselves as favourites, and it's just all really well set up for another great European night at the Bernabeu on Wednesday.
The Athletic's data analyst Mark Carey was at the Allianz Arena, and reasons for Bayern to feel optimistic too?
Yeah, I think Bayern Munich can be really encouraged with their performance. They were dominant throughout, really. I think Real Madrid have a knack for not necessarily being in the game for long periods and then sucker punching you just at the right time for them, the wrong time for the opposition. I think, you know, looking at the overall numbers of the game, Bayern Munich had more shots, 14 shots to 10, just about edged the possession as well. But I thought tactically it was really interesting the way that they set up, because typically they play in a 4-2-3-1, but they set up in more of a 4-2-2-2. Especially in the first half, which I thought was really interesting. And I asked Thomas Tuchel about it, and he said that it wasn't quite working. So he made the changes at half time to go back more to a 4-2-3-1. But it shows the versatility that they can operate with and try and punish Real Madrid again in the second leg. I think, you know, the fact that they did have more shots and some good shots at that in the second half, I think they'll maybe be disappointed that they didn't quite capitalise when they were dominant, because, you know, going back to the Bernabeu next week, I think it will be a tough ask to maybe overcome Real Madrid at home. So they would have liked to, of course, been, you know, further ahead, or, you know, have a bit more of a cushion going into that leg. But I absolutely think Bayern Munich can be encouraged by their performance tonight.
to tonight's second Champions League semi-final first leg, Borussia Dortmund hosting Paris Saint-Germain, who clinched their third Ligue 1 title in a row at the weekend, making it 10 in 12 seasons. They still want a first Champions League win, though, having lost the 1920 final to Bayern. Peter Rutzler covers PSG for us. Are they peaking at the right time?
Yeah, I think Paris Saint-Germain are in the best frame of mind, in the best position coming into this game than they have been. This is the best form of PSG this season. I think Luis Enrique sort of alluded to that in his press conference here in Dortmund on Tuesday, basically outlining that he feels that the game has come at a good time. And I think performance-wise, that's been reflected by results. It does feel like in all areas, as the manager was keen to stress, the team have got better. I still don't think this is the best or the final version of what Luis Enrique is trying to build. You know, he's all about wanting control and dominating possession and reducing what the opponent is able to do on the ball. And there's still aspects of that, but it does feel like that within the setup that they have, key players are performing. Ousmane Dembele is hitting form at the right time. Bradley Bacala is playing exceptionally. You've got Gonzalo Ramos is starting to build some momentum as well in attack. It feels like PSG are in quite a good place, probably the best that they have been all season. And it has been quite a transitional season, quite up and down. But it does feel like it's coming together at the right point.
PSG played Dortmund twice in the group stages, winning at home and drawing away. What will they have learnt from those games?
I think those two games were very different. The game in Paris was pretty one-sided. It was one of the first impressive PSG displays under Luis Enrique. The second game, you know, was this end-to-end. Either team could have won it. Neither ultimately did. PSG scraped through the group stages. And I think that the PSG side that will go to Signal Iduna Park is a different one in terms of their mental preparation. I think, you know, they didn't win a game in the group stage away from home. There was a lot of questions about their away form. Even domestically in the league, they've haven't beaten in 28 games in the league at the moment, but it always felt like PSG would give away more chances, more opportunities for opponents when they're on the road. Those results that they've had, you know, winning in San Sebastian against Real Sociedad, who did very well in the first leg, and then doing what they did to Barcelona, I think that changes how the group feels. Expectations have changed slightly. You know, for much of this season, it's been about playing down Champions League hopes. You know what, it doesn't matter this year. That's not the be-all and end-all. It's not an obligation. However, now you're in the semi-final. You're clear favourite to that semi-final. You have a shot at getting to Wembley for a final, which is a 50-50 shot, you know. That might just change the mental side of it, and how PSG cope with that will be interesting to see.
Let's switch from Peter to our German writer, Seb Stafford-Blohr. How have Dortmund changed since those PSG games then?
I suppose there are two different changes. The first is personnel. So since that group stage, Jadon Sancho and Ian Maatsen have joined the club, both on loan. Maatsen especially has been really, really excellent for Dortmund. He's changed the way they attack. He's really more of an inverted fullback than either of the other options that Edin Terzic had available to him. And he makes Dortmund far better coming out of their own defensive areas and coming through midfield. He pops up all over the place. He's sometimes plays as a second midfielder, second number six. Sancho as well. Sancho has started to look a little bit more free, I suppose is the word, after his departure from Manchester United and getting out from underneath all the melodrama. And the combination between those two players is really positive. There's real chemistry down the left-hand side for Dortmund. And the other change, I suppose, is form. Marcel Sabitzer has been a big difference maker probably over the last 6 to 8 weeks. He's found a little bit of rhythm in his game. Obviously, he was extremely influential against Atletico Madrid. So, yeah, they are in better shape. There are still some caveats, and Dortmund are still not that fluid. And I would say probably the Atletico Madrid game was a bit of a one-off. It's not necessarily representative of their form in the Bundesliga, but they probably are in a slightly better shape. And also with the knowledge that the Bundesliga is almost certainly going to get the fifth Champions League spot, they're able to relax a little bit. They know that that place is secure for next season.
And as we know, PSG have plenty of speed in attack. How will Dortmund try to defend against Kylian Mbappe, Ousmane Dembele et al?
With great difficulty, I think that's probably the answer, because which team in the world can control those players? I think Dortmund, well, clearly will have to depend upon Mats Hummels and Nico Schlotterbeck in the middle of defence. They played extremely well throughout the Champions League group stages, so they'll need more of the same. but clearly there's going to have to be some protection. Emre Can will have to be something approaching his best, whether Salih Özcan or Felix Nmecha plays alongside him, not quite sure yet, but clearly that midfield is going to have a huge role. And at fullback, because we've talked obviously about what Ian Mattson does going forward and what Julian Ryerson can offer from right back, but clearly without the ball, those two are going to be very, very important given what they'll be facing.
It kicks off at 8 in the UK. It's live on TNT. That's 3 Eastern, and you can see it on Paramount Plus. Back in the Premier League, and do you want to know about some boardroom changes at Manchester United? I'll make it so. Patrick Stewart, get it? The interim CEO, he's leaving, and another interim, Jean-Claude Blanc, the CEO of Ineos, is going to fill in until Omar Berada, who's joining from Manchester City in July, arrives. The chief financial officer, Cliff Batty, is off as well. Roger Bell is in for him. There's further analysis on the reasoning for the reshuffle on The Athletic. Now, you'll remember after Everton beat Nottingham Forest 2-0 at Goodison in that relegation scrap, the visitors thought they should have had 3 penalties. Well, an independent panel agreed that one, the last one, should have been given. Here's head of referees Howard Webb on Match Officials Mic'd Up on how VAR Stuart Atwell should have interacted with on-field referee Anthony Taylor when Ashley Young took down Callum Hudson-Odoi on 55 minutes.
He doesn't see a clear action by Young that he considers to be worthy of intervention, one that reaches the threshold of being very clear. But we would have preferred intervention for the referee to go to the screen to make a judgment for himself in this situation. Probably would have come out with a different outcome if that had happened.
The FA and Premier League's investigations into Forest's reactions continue, and they remain just a point above the drop zone. Now it looks like Ipswich will be heading up to the big league to make it back-to-back promotions after they won at Coventry last night.
Headed down from Burgess. Still in there, and Burgess scores! They're not there yet, but it's a huge step for Kieran McKenna to back-to-back promotions.
The 2-1 win puts them 3 clear of Leeds in third with 1 to go. A point at home against relegation-threatened Huddersfield will see them return to the Premier League after a 22-year absence. And to the WSL title race, and after their Champions League semi-final disappointment against Barcelona, Chelsea have one of their 2 games in hand on leaders Manchester City tonight. They're at Liverpool, aiming to cut the gap to just 3 points. It's live on Sky Sports in the UK at 7 o'clock. That's all for today's Daily Football Briefing with me, Adam Leventhal. Your producers were Abby Patterson and Mike Zimmerman, and executive producer Ian McIntosh. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Take care till then.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.